and Super Value Buncrana on the 9th and 10th of June from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Take a test drive in a new Skoda and you could win a shopping voucher. Order your new car and you will receive a free €250 shopping voucher for Cavanaugh's Super Value. For more information, go to dmgmotors.ie or call 07497-21396. Skoda, made for Donegal.
Live, on air, online and on the Highland Radio app, this is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, Jade McLafferty with you here from the Highland Radio News Desk. It's just gone 5 o'clock. Your headlines this hour. Minister of State James Brown will be in Donegal tomorrow as part of National Community Engagement Week. Private Sean Rooney has been honoured in a ceremony paying tribute to fallen UN peacekeepers. And the Taoiseach has been told that parents and children right across the country, including in Donegal, are being failed due to the absence of respite services. These stories in full to follow, plus we will have the latest in sports with Jordan McDade and all things farming with Chris Ashmore at 5:15.
Currys have what's hot in tech this summer. Plus, we won't be beaten on price. Get the LG 65-inch smart 4K OLED TV for $1,499. The Samsung 55-inch smart 4K QLED TV is only $899, save €50. And for a limited time only, get free delivery on large-screen TVs and large kitchen appliances, €500 or over. Shop the hottest tech in-store or online now at currys.ie. T's and C's apply. See website for details.
But first in news, in the UK, a car has crashed into the gates of Downing Street. Police say no one's been injured and a man's been arrested on suspicion of criminal damage and dangerous driving. The surrounding area has been cordoned off by armed officers. Minister of State James Brown will be in Donegal tomorrow as part of National Community Engagement Week. The Crime Prevention Roadshow and Workshop will take place in the Clonley Co-op at 10 a.m. The event has seen over 800 events throughout the week, with Minister James Brown happy with the uptake and feedback received.
So this week is National Community Engagement Week, and what we're doing is right across the country at almost 800 events. We have An Garda Síochána, fire services, county councils, age-friendly action groups and all sorts of NGOs and voluntary groups and state agencies. And what we're doing is reaching out to our communities, highlighting the importance of rural safety and rural communications, and just generally trying to help people stay in contact and know what supports are out there for them if they have any challenges. So our themes for the week have been issues like community safety, burglary and theft, animal crime, heritage crime. But really, it's about that piece of engagement in our community and encouraging people to come together and to look out for each other. And during COVID, a lot of people were afraid to go out. Thankfully, COVID is well under control now. But still, I think a lot of people are afraid to, especially older people, to kind of go out and intermingle. So that's really part of what we're doing as well.
And Minister, previously this was a one-day event. You've now expanded it to a week. Is there an appetite for it? How has that decision come about?
Yeah, very much so. So it was always, as you say, a one-day event. It was very popular. We realised it was simply not possible to do all of what we want to do in a single day. So we went for broke and decided to do an entire week's event, and it's been hugely successful right across the country. So while I've been trying to get to as many events as possible, there are almost 800. You can only touch on a small number of them, but I know I'm getting the feedback right across the country. They've been hugely successful. I've in Cavan, in Wexford, and myself and in other areas as well, and look, really looking forward to the events in Donegal as well.
Private Sean Rooney has been honoured at a ceremony paying tribute to fallen UN peacekeepers. The 23-year-old was killed in an attack while on duty in Lebanon last December. Fergal Myath, the Irish ambassador to the UN, accepted a medal on behalf of the Rooney family. The UN Secretary-General addressed delegates before a soldier read the names of peacekeepers who've died.
Excellencies, generals, ladies and gentlemen, we now announce the names of uniformed fallen peacekeepers for the Dakama Shield Medal. Ireland, Private Sean Cormac Rooney.
Donegal County Council is being urged to write to the Department of Housing ahead of the imminent publication of the revised Defective Block Redress Scheme. Councillor Martin McDermott, Chair of the Council's Defective Block Redress Committee, is calling for the building condition assessment requirement to be revised. The department recently proposed 11 changes to the draft regulations. One of those requires the homeowner to provide a certificate of planning and building control before progressing with the scheme. Councillor McDermott says that is simply unattainable.
and that particular regulation they are now proposing to bring in, that the homeowner will need a certificate of planning and a certificate of building control before they can proceed in relation to the scheme, which to me is totally unfair. In relation to the planning, that one possibly could be got, but in relation to building control, I think that's near impossible for a lot of people to get that one, because there will be different circumstances for houses. There will be different circumstances where people might have, you know, built the house themselves and mightn't have got a mortgage, and different things where people might have done material works to their house over the last 20 years that would leave them that the house mightn't just be able to be certified from building control, and getting an engineer to do that will be very, very difficult. Plus, there's a cost as well in that you know, those certs that you're going looking for will cost a considerable amount of money, and there's no clear answer as to whether that money can be brought back, or the client can get that money back. So I was asking that regulation be changed and go back to the way it was in the legislation and the way it was in the first draft that came out of the regs, and take out the need, because there is no need. It's one that does not need to happen. It's going to make life far, far more difficult for homeowners to try to get on the scheme.
ICTU urges the national minimum wage needs to increase significantly if Ireland is to meet its EU basic standard of living. The Irish Congress of Trade Unions is calling for a €2 increase to be introduced next year and again in 2025, bringing the hourly rate to €15.30. Some small businesses are concerned that they wouldn't be able to afford the cost of labour if an increase came in. But economic analyst with Social Justice Ireland, Colette Bennett, has an idea to support small employers.
But what we had proposed was almost like a COVID-style support for employers that would be tapered off, but that employers could prove to government, to the department, that they, over a four-year period, that they could reach that amount in a sustainable way.
A woman has been hospitalised after being assaulted in Ballyshannon. The woman in her 20s was taken to Sligo University Hospital following the attack at a residence in the town at 1 a.m. on Wednesday. A man in his 30s was arrested at the scene and has since been charged. An Irish lender offering long-term fixed-rate mortgages is dropping some of its interest rates. Avant Money has dropped its long-term fixed rates by 0.35% to 3.95% for terms of between 10 and 30 years. However, some of its shorter-term fixed rates are increasing. Trevor Grant, chairperson of the Association of Irish Mortgage Advisors, says the long-term fixed rate offers certainly for mortgage holders.
Avant Money have reduced the fixed rate that they apply to their 10-year fixed rate, which starts now at 3.95%, and also on their lifetime mortgage, starting at 3.95%. They have also increased their 3- and 5-year fixed rates by an average 0.3%. These are still very competitive rates. But the key good news for customers is that they can now lock in for 10 years, or indeed for the lifetime of their mortgage, at sub 4%.
The Taoiseach has been told that parents and children right across the country, including in Donegal, are being failed due to the absence of respite services. The case of one mother in Donegal who has not been able to access respite care for the last 3 years was highlighted. Donegal Deputy Pearse Doherty told Micheál Martin that vulnerable children are repeatedly being failed.
Taoiseach, with respect, you're not looking after the child. You're not looking after the family. Julianne went on national radio and said for 16 years she hasn't had one night of overnight respite. How can you say that you're looking after the child, looking after the family in that scenario? How do you say that to the people who took to the street in Wexford? Their services was withdrawn from them with little notice. How do you tell the mother who comes to me in Donegal, where Drumbow Respite Centre is not available to her two children with special needs for the last 3 years, despite me raising it on this floor many, many times, including back 2 years ago, told that it's in hand, it was going to be reopened. Last year it was going to be reopened. Earlier last month I was told it's going to be at the end of the year before it's reopened. These children are being failed over and over and over again, and it is down to a failure to plan, to ensure that the workforce is there, that the capacity is there, and the facilities are there. And can I say this, Taoiseach? With respect, these are some of the most vulnerable children and adults in the state.
Thank you, Deputy.
And I ask you, what are you going to do to ensure that the 10 empty beds in Cork are reopened, that the 12 empty beds
Thank
in
you,
Wexford
Deputy.
Are reopened, and that the centre in Donegal is providing respite centre
Deputy.
For children and adults there?
Staffing is now the issue in terms of recruitment of staff. The funding is there to recruit staff to these services and to these facilities. And funding will continue to be provided and will be expanded into the future in the forthcoming estimates and so on. There will be additional funding for disabilities generally and in particular for children with special needs.
Police in Derry are appealing for information after a masked man who is believed to have been armed at the time robbed a bookmaker's in the city earlier today. At around 9:30 a.m. the man entered the premises on Church Bray and confronted a staff member with what is reported to have been a firearm. The suspect, who was wearing dark clothing, made off minutes later with a sum of money in the direction of the Tully Alley Road. Police remain in the area conducting inquiries and anyone with information or dashcam footage is urged to come forward. Police have begun taking photos of an excavation site near the banks of a reservoir in Portugal in search for Madeleine McCann. Heavy machinery continued to cut through undergrowth while officers raked the ground about 30 miles away from where the three-year-old British girl went missing in 2007. It's understood the search will end later this afternoon. A member of the HSE's Regional Health Forum believes there needs to be a study carried out on the impact of the shortage of GPs in Donegal is having on Letterkenny University Hospital. Councillor Gerry Crawford is asking for a meeting this week to outline the protocols in place in cases where a person cannot get registered with a GP. He was told that while the HSE can help people on medical cards, it cannot influence interactions between GPs and patients in cases where the GP is a private operator. Councillor Crawford says this may be a factor in the increase in people using the hospital.
If a practice is at capacity, then it's at capacity. So I asked what was the process for people who don't have access, and I was given the route that people who have a medical card can go. Now, if three practices don't have the capacity to take you, then the HSE will try to sort that out. So there's no such pathway for people, for private patients who don't have a medical card. And I think a great many people would be surprised to learn that they really don't have an entitlement to a GP service within their own area. And that may be no fault whatsoever of the GP practice. I'm sure that they're doing their best to facilitate people and turn nobody away. I was informed that there was process ongoing at the moment, reviewing all that at national level. That would involve the practices and the GPs and the different bodies. And I think we need to watch that with great interest. I don't know the numbers that exist who haven't got access. I have no idea.
Do you believe that there's a lot of people we're not hearing about, that there is effectively a large group of people out there here in Donegal in the northwest that actually don't have a GP, and that is an issue that could come back to bite us?
Well, I think, like, even if you take it on a daily basis, of people who are trying to access a GP, and again, as I have said, if they don't have the capacity to do that, I'm sure that they themselves will refer themselves on to either NowDoc or the hospital. And perhaps, you know, we don't know to what degree that that's adding to the problems that exist there. So I think that it's something, you know, that needs to be further looked into to see what is the problems that that may be causing in terms of out NowDoc and the hospital.
Donegal has been awarded €3,500 with Inland Fisheries Ireland for the appropriate assessment of the proposed river restoration works on the Bulba River on Lennon catchment. It's a part of the announcement of 24 new projects supported under the Salmon and Sea Trout Rehabilitation, Conservation and Protection Fund in 2023. Almost €1 million was awarded across 12 counties. Status orange forest fire warning has been introduced for the next 4 days. The Department of Agriculture says the risk of fire is now high following the recent spell of warm, dry weather. The alert will remain in place until 6 o'clock next Monday evening, and landowners and members of the public are urged to be extra vigilant. We'll now take a short commercial break and we'll be back at 5:15 with Jordan McDade, who's waiting on the sports desk, and Chris Ashmore for this week's Farming News. Welcome back. I'll hand you over to Jordan McDade for all the latest in the world of sport.
Thanks, Jade. We start with soccer. In the Premier League tonight, Manchester United hosts Chelsea at Old Trafford from 8 p.m. United just need a point to qualify for next season's Champions League. Their manager, Erik ten Hag, says the club needs to make good decisions this summer.
In this moment, it's, like I say, a centralisation of good players, of the best managers, also about the money. It's all here in the UK. Yeah, and that makes a great competition, but a tough and a hard competition, and you have to do the right things, and you can have money, but you have to do it and spend it in a smart way, and also you need a strategy behind, because otherwise money doesn't work.
The final World Cup warm-up game for the Republic of Ireland's women's team has been confirmed. They will face Colombia behind closed doors in Brisbane on July 14th, 6 days before the tournament opener against Australia. There are also two games against Zambia on June 22nd and France on July 6th at Tala Stadium. Meanwhile, Aoife Mannion is hopeful to be fit for the World Cup despite aggravating a knee injury at Manchester United. Elsewhere, Megan Campbell is going to be searching for a new club after being released by Liverpool. A first ever NFL game in Ireland is on the cards at Croke Park in the next couple of years. Six-time Super Bowl champions, the Pittsburgh Steelers, have granted rights to expand their brand and activities in Ireland as part of the NFL Global Marketing Programme. London has already staged NFL games, and the GAA president, Larry McCarthy, says an American football game in a regular season involving the Steelers is an attractive proposition.
Hopefully what will evolve out of this is that we Steelers will come back here again, as they were in 1997, and play a regular season game here. I'm making the point all morning that pre-season games are lovely, but people are not necessarily interested in those anymore. Perhaps we found that out ourselves in terms of sending teams abroad. They have to be games in competitions.
In motorsport, the seated entry list for this year's Donegal International Rally has been released, with over 240 entries received for the event. Oisin Kelly has the details.
Last year's winners, Josh Moffat and Andy Hayes, will have number one on their Hyundai i20 for the 2023 running of the Donegal International Rally, which starts on Friday, the 16th of June. Championship contenders Callum Devine and Miriam Evans are the other top seeds, followed by Sam Moffat, Matt Edwards, Robert Barabel and Gary Jennings. The top-seeded two-wheel drive car is last year's modified winner Kevin Gallagher in his Darien. He'll be followed by Kevin Eves, Mark Alcorn, Gary Kiernan, Declan Gallagher, Damien Tourish and David Bogie. The absence of two of its most decorated former competitors will be marked by their competition numbers being retired. The numbers 42 and 43 will be forever linked with Craig Breen and Ken Block respectively. Both were tragically lost to the sport in 2023. Go to our website highlandradio.com for a full list of the entries for the 2023 Walton Recycling Donegal International Rally.
Cycling news now, as Ireland's Ben Healy is set to lose out on the King of the Mountain jersey to Thibaut Pinot of France on stage 18 of the Giro d'Italia. Cork's Eddie Dunbar started the day fifth on general classification behind race leader Geraint Thomas. In golf, Spain's Jorge Campillo shot a fine 9-under par round of 63 on day one of the KLM Open in the Netherlands. Tom McKibben and John Murphy are both 2-under par after 13 holes today. After winning her opening match yesterday, Leona Maguire faces Jenny Shin at the LPGA match play in Las Vegas. Finally, on the score this evening, after the 7 p.m. news, Oisin Kelly talks Finn Harps and Derry City football with former Harps player Joe Boyle. There's previews of Donegal's Ulster Ladies final with Armagh and the Derry's men's clash with Monaghan in the All-Ireland Championship. Plus, Richard Kerr reflects on the latest win on the bikes in England. That's your sport for today. Back again tomorrow morning.
Thanks, Jordan. Finally, to weather, dry today but remaining quite cloudy. Highest temperatures from 15 to 16 degrees and a light to moderate northerly breeze. The warm weather we're currently enjoying looks set to continue into next week. Met Aaron says there will be sunshine over the weekend with temperatures in the low 20s. There'll be more sunshine on Monday with highest temperatures in the west half of the country. Your evening's headlines once more. Minister of State James Brown will be in Donegal tomorrow as part of National Community Engagement Week. The Crime Prevention Roadshow and Workshop will take place in the Clonlea Co-op at 10 a.m. Private Sean Rooney has been honoured at a ceremony paying tribute to fallen UN peacekeepers. The 23-year-old was killed in an attack while on duty in Lebanon last December. ICTU argues the national minimum wage needs to increase significantly if Ireland is to meet its EU's basic standard of living. The Irish Congress of Trade Unions is calling for a €2 increase to be introduced next year and again in 2025, bringing the hourly rate to €15.30. A woman has been hospitalised after being assaulted in Ballyshannon. The woman in her 20s was taken to Sligo University Hospital following the attack at a residence in the town at 1 a.m. on Wednesday. That's all from the news desk. I'll hand you over to Chris Ashmore with this week's farming news. I'll be back with headlines at 6.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Coming up, we'll look about the big uptake likely to take place in Donegal for farmers investing in solar to generate on-farm electricity. But first, Agriculture Minister Charlie McConnell-Logue is reminding farmers that the deadline for the 2023 Basic Income Support for Sustainability BIS applications is midnight on Monday, the 29th of May, and this is also the deadline for the related submission of applications for a range of other schemes, including the Complementary Income Support for Young Farmers, the National Reserve, and transfers of entitlements. Well, the Targeted Agriculture Modernisation Schemes, known as TAMS, provide grants to farmers to build or improve a specified range of farm buildings. Significantly, under TAMS 3, it applies to solar panels, which can be used to generate electricity. Newtown Cunningham farmer Stephen Robb is the renewables editor with the Irish Farmers Journal. I've been speaking to him about the interest to date and the fact that with such a big grant available, that there is considerable interest in the scheme.
Yeah, Chris, there absolutely is, and with good reason. This grant is a game changer, and I don't say that lightly. It's completely changed the economics of solar PV for farmers. And the economics of solar PV was positive anyway because of the high electricity prices, but this really has just tipped it in the farmers' favour. And yeah, plenty of interest amongst farmers here in Donegal and right around the country.
So let's just throw out a few figures. What sort of grant aid is available and what sort of investment it would be typically required?
Okay, so all farmers now are eligible to claim up to 60% of the cost of a solar PV system as a grant. So in the previous tranche of TAM, that would have been 40% for the vast majority of farmers, but now everyone is eligible for the 60% grant. Big difference, I suppose, with this latest scheme is that it's in a separate investment ceiling on its own. So basically, you can go off and you can secure your grant for a solar PV system and it won't affect your ability to apply for other items within TAMS. And there's lots of other items in TAMS, so this is kind of separate altogether. There is an investment ceiling, but you know the vast majority of us will never reach that ceiling. It's 90 grand, so you can potentially claim up to 90 grand worth of a grant towards a solar PV system, but you'd have to install a massive system to kind of reach that. So, and also batteries are also eligible for a 60% grant. There is a couple of terms and conditions with the with the batteries. It can only be 50% of your solar PV capacity because they want you using all of your solar power on site. I could see that changing, Chris, because I think it's a bit silly, but at the moment, for this tranche anyway, that's where you're kind of limited to.
If you do install these panels under this TAM scheme and fund it through it, the electricity cannot be exported into the national grid. This is for use for your own selves and means that you will be generating electricity, but you're not actually going to be exporting it.
Yeah, well, look, that's the interesting part. So this scheme is designed as an import displacement scheme. So basically, the department wants to give you a 60% grant towards the panels to produce as much of your own electricity on-site as possible and reduce the amount that you import from the national grid. They don't really want you using this grant to export significant volumes to the grid, and they put that in as really kind of a term in the scheme. But the reality is, Chris, they can't actually stop you, not really. You'd have to have a special type of ESB connection to physically stop you from exporting electricity back to the grid, which I've never come across in a farm before. If you do have surplus electricity generated from your solar PV system, then you can export it to the grid. But the catch is, I should say, is that if you avail of this TAM scheme, you're going to have to complete what's called an on-farm solar PV survey before you submit the application. So basically what's contained in that survey is you're going to have to input figures for your farm's yearly average electricity usage, and then you're also going to have to put in estimated generation figures of the solar PV system which you're installing. So that's kind of how they get you. So to repeat that, they can't stop you from exporting to the grid, but they're just going to limit the size of solar PV system, which you'll be able to get a grant on.
Also, just to sort of give people an idea of what's coming down the track, for the people who are applying here, are we mainly talking about people who are putting up a small number of panels, maybe using farm sheds or even their house, or are we talking about people who are going to have fields with considerable numbers of panels in them?
It's the former, so it is. It is really for, not just really for rooftop solar PV. Now, ground-mounted solar PV systems are eligible, but look, they're going to be small, and typically roof-mounted solar PV systems are more cost-effective anyway, and look, we're farmers, we have the roof space, it makes sense to put them on that. But also, you just touched on a really important point there, Chris. So it's one of the big changes with the Solar Capital Investment Scheme part of TAMS 3 compared to the previous TAMS, is that your house is now eligible to be included in that calculation for your farm's total electricity usage. You'll be able to install a solar PV system large enough that covers your farm's electricity usage, but also your house's electricity usage, and get the 60% grant on that. There's no other cohort in society who would have that kind of grant aid available to them, so it really is fantastic. But like all these things, there is a catch. Your farm and your house must be on the same electricity meter to be able to do that. If they're on two separate meters, then you can't include it, unfortunately, and there's kind of no workaround there. But still, there's a lot of farms out there who would have the house and the farm on the same electricity meter with the same MPRN number, and this is an absolutely fantastic option available for them.
We hear a lot about, you know, how technology is moving so quickly. What sort of lifespan can we expect if you're putting in these panels in the short term?
Yes, lifespan, look, it really depends on the type of panel which you're going for, and there are a number of different types of panels on the market. Look, really, you would hear of kind of two main types, really. It's called glass foil. We'll start with the latter. So glass foil would be kind of the lower end of the market. They would be a little bit cheaper, so they would. But you're still going to get, you know, typically maybe a 20-25 year performance guarantee. So it's still quite a long lifetime for these panels. I suppose the difference is that they would maybe degrade a little bit quicker than the other. And what I mean by that is just the amount of electricity which they can generate, or which they can convert from sunlight into electricity, would kind of decrease year on year a little bit faster than the other option, which is glass. So glass being a more premium type of solar panel, their annual degradation rate would be lower. They would typically have a longer kind of performance guarantee, maybe upwards of 30 years. But they are more expensive, and look, I suppose you do get what you pay for, but with a 60% grant aid available, you know, it's well worth considering the more premium end of the panels.
And finally, Stephen, in terms of the deadlines that are there at the moment, and is this money ring-fenced? Are we going to see this scheme continuing for quite a while?
Yeah, hopefully, Chris, we are. So the deadline for the first tranche is the 16th of June, so you can get your applications in before that. Look, realistically, from what I hear, you're not going to hear back from that first tranche if you submit an application until possibly the autumn, you know, so you could be waiting a while. But look, if the first tranche closes and you don't get your application in, there is expected to be two more tranches open this year, and there'll be more tranches available next year. So it is a 90 million euro scheme. As I said, demand is going to be high. So if you're considering it, if you're kind of sitting on the fence, look, I'd start doing your research and your homework today, and I'd start talking to some solar providers just to get an idea of what your farm needs, what your farm can accommodate, and kind of what it's going to cost.
And just one other thing, is there likely to be any planning permission difficulties arising out of this?
In fairness to our government at the moment, they did a hell of a job at removing the vast majority of planning requirements for rooftop solar PV systems. The vast majority of your listeners won't have to worry about planning permission for solar PV systems on their roof, or even for small ground-mounted systems.
And that was Stephen Robb, Renewables Editor with the Irish Farmers Journal. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.
The obituary notices this Thursday evening, May 25th. The death has taken place of Seamus James Curran, two Ard Grainne Stranorler, and formerly the Rohan Remelton. His remains will repose at the family home, the Rohan Remelton, from 6 p.m. this evening. Funeral mass on Saturday morning at 11 a.m. in St Mary's Church, Remelton. Burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Funeral mass can be viewed on Church Services TV, St Mary's Church, Remelton. The death has occurred of Vincent Gavigan, Common Ardra. His remains will repose at McCabe's funeral premises this evening from 6 p.m. until 11 p.m. Funeral from there tomorrow afternoon at 2:40 p.m. going to the Church of the Holy Family Ardra for funeral mass at 3 o'clock. Funeral premises is private to family only, please. The death has occurred of Owen Martin McGonigal, Kinvalley Crowe, Burton Port. His remains will be reposing in the Glynn's funeral home this evening from 7 p.m. with rosary at 9 o'clock, followed by removal going to his late residence. Reposing at his residence tomorrow. Removal and wake are private to family and close friends only, please. Funeral mass is on Saturday morning at 11 a.m. in St. Columba's Church Acres, with interment afterwards in Belcridge Cemetery. The death has taken place in Glasgow of Sally O'Neill Ní Doherty, Carrow Moore Glentaher Cairn Donna. Her remains are reposing at her brother Jerry and his wife Joan Doherty's. Removal from there tomorrow morning at 10:15 a.m. to the Church of the Sacred Heart Cairn Donna for Requiem Mass at 11 a.m. with interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Requiem Mass can be viewed live on churchmedia.tv. The death has taken place of Kathleen Murphy, Ní Griffin, Drumnahoe Letterkenny. Kathleen's remains will repose at her late residence today until 10 p.m. with rosary tonight at 9 o'clock. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10:15 a.m. going to St. Eunan's Cathedral, Letterkenny, for 11 a.m. Requiem Mass, followed by private cremation at Lakelands Crematorium, Cavan. Funeral can be viewed on churchservices.tv. House private on the morning of the funeral, please. The death has taken place in Glasgow of Rosemary Sheridan, formerly of Creevary Rathmullen. Reposing at her home in Creevary Rathmullen from 3 p.m. until 10 p.m. on Saturday. Funeral from there on Sunday at 12 noon for 12:30 p.m. Requiem Mass in St. Joseph's Church, Rathmullen, followed by interment in the adjacent cemetery. Family time on the morning of the funeral, please. Mass can be viewed on MCN TV, St. Joseph's Church, Rathmullen. For more details, including any family health guidelines for wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.